Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Let's just bow our heads as we open service. Lord and Savior, how wonderful, appreciative we are. Lord, just thank you so much. Lord, that you look down on us. Father, in our life, each of us come to a point of, Lord, recognizing our need for you, Lord, and you were there. We're so thankful for that day, that hour, Lord Jesus. Lord, your grace is beyond our understanding, Father. It's beyond being able to tell about it, other than just how wonderful you are, precious, and don't do justice, Lord, for what we feel towards you. We love you. Pray, Lord, you would bless everyone that's gathered together tonight. Lord, just bless them and strengthen them. Meet their needs, whatever they have on their heart and in their lives. Lord, may you get the glory and honor in everything that's said and done. We ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Be loving tonight, saints. I love him so much. Amen. Let's sing together if you wouldn't. I think we all know him. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Amen. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Jesus. Like these little worship songs. Amen. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all, oh Jesus. Jesus is all I need. Without him, I could do nothing. Oh, without him, I'd surely fail.
Without him, I could do nothing.
Jesus, oh Jesus.
Anytime you're worshiping Him, praising Him, it's hard not to sing this song. I love Him. Do you love Him, saints?
Amen.
Hallelujah. From my heart, the
because He
song, the little chorus, the way I like to. Don't tell me that you love him. Tell him. I love to sing. I love you. I love you because you first loved me. Make it personal to me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things on earth will a grand privilege. Lord, your word that you've stored up for us, Lord, it instructs us of our, Lord, many blessings, promises you've made to us. Father, it meets and covers every need, every, Lord, problem that we would come to face this on this earth. Lord, I thank you. Lord, the needs of the people is on their hearts, signified by hand raising. I pray that you would just, Lord, just touch them and bless them. Lord, give them that special touch and special revelation, Lord, that they can, Lord, walk away tonight with their needs all met. For, Lord, it's already paid for. And we're so thankful. Bless us now, each and every one. Lord, the remainder of the service, we pray that you would just have your hand on it. Lord, bless every phase, every word that comes forth. Grant us revelation. Your will may be done in our lives. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. You can go on. Amen. Does anyone else have a song? Something on your heart? All right. All right. Let's all stand then, I guess. Single chords only believe. Let's ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
This evening, thank the Lord for His precious Holy Spirit. Amen. Such a wonderful opportunity as we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, it's with great anticipation that we've came in these doors tonight, Lord, and knowing, Lord, that You're here in the midst with us. And we just didn't come to a building, Lord, to sing a few songs and to run back out and say we had a service. But Lord, before there was a moon or a star, You knew there would be a predestinated few gathered tonight in this little place, Lord, to partake of Your precious word. And Lord, we're just praying tonight that these few scriptures and quotes that I'll renew our minds to, Lord, may somehow strengthen and stir someone's heart. Lord, that we would be a people that would desire a closer walk with You and surrender our lives greater, Lord, to the precious word that You've left us. And Lord, that we would be ready for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it to Your glory and to Your honor, and we ask Your blessings upon Your word in the most precious name of Your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't He wonderful?
Yes, He is.
Yes, amen. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles over to Luke, the 19th chapter. Amen. Just a little text and praying that God will give me the right words to say to bring it to help and to make it where it will mean a little something to you. It's things we've heard many, many times, but it's meditated on this for a couple weeks, just thinking through, and there's so many quotes and so many things you could read. But just to condense it down into a few minutes of service to help us along our way, just praying the Lord will bless His word. Amen. But in Luke, the 19th chapter, and let's read here. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. May the Lord bless the reading of His word, and you may be seated. Brother Branham used sometimes this scripture and the other scriptures of Sirs. We would see Jesus many times. But as I was thinking about that, of how is Brother Branham dramatized this many times, and my message isn't about Zacchaeus so much as it is looking at someone that had heard of Jesus and heard that He was passing through and heard all these wonderful things, and he wanted to see more about Him. He wanted to know more about Him. And there was a press in Him. He sought to see Him for who He was, and he wanted to get a look at what was happening here. What's going on? What's all this fuss? What's this noise going about? And so we know, we'll just go ahead and read on down there a little bit. And it says, and he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Him. And he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw Him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down and he received Him joyfully. Obedience. Look how easy it was just to walk right in that. Wasn't no push and shove yet. No, you don't. No. He came right down and he made haste. Amen. He made haste, he came down and they received Him joyfully. And when they that saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So I want you to think about this presentation. Here's this little man. heard about Jesus, and boy, I got to go see what this is about. And all it took was one word of, come down, Zacchaeus, today I'm going to abide at your house. And then look at the obedience and the desire and the life that began to happen right away from that. Yes. And turn over to Mark with me. Just put these in your heart. We've read this many times, but in Mark 10. And I want you to think about this just a little bit tonight. Because here's another person. Heard that Jesus was going through the land, hearing it was being noised abroad of all that was happening here and taking place and catching people's attention. Things are happening. And here's this young man, and he says, and when he was gone, it's the 17th verse of the 10th chapter, and when he was gone forth into the way, there come one running and kneeled down to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. So I want you to look at this young man's already his approach, being raised a little more religious maybe than Zacchaeus was. Having heard these things that was going forth and seeing the results that was happening in Jesus. And he knew he had something that he lacked. Even though he, and Brother Branham, think about that. How Brother Branham dramatized that and talked about this young man. And even the scriptures, he testified himself that he had kept all things from his youth that was written. He'd give forth that testimony. So bear that in mind. And Jesus speaking to him, and Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all of these I have observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So think about, here's two men that both of them realized that Jesus was, things were going and taking place, and they both had the opportunity to come in contact with the Word made flesh for this day. The identified scriptures laying in front of them, the Word was identified. And they both come in contact with it, and look at the results it bore out in two people. One saw the importance of it right away, and it just, something caught him on the inside. And it didn't take a whole sermon to get Zacchaeus to say, if I've done anything. No, he was making it right. This young man, he had done a lot of good, and he had done a lot of wonderful things. And the Word pointed out one thing he still needed, and that was too much. Yes. It wanted nothing to do with that. So what I want you to think about that is, as we come and we realize Jesus was the Word made flesh for his day. He was the scriptures vindicated that had been spoken for all of those years, and there he was. And the Word was truly identified. And people seen it, and many recognized it at that time, and they saw what was happening and realizing that this was taking place. This is, the attraction was there. The Word was going forth. They were listening to what he was saying. And I want you to bear that in mind with today, that we can look back and see Brother Branham came, and many of us recognize that he was the prophet that is fulfilled. Malachi 4 and Luke 1, chapter in Luke where it spoke of him in the chapter there, and then Revelations 10, 1 to 7. And we recognize that. And so we've come to the fountain to drink forth of realizing God has sent a voice. God's in the land. God's doing something. And there, I don't know of any of us here that truly was in the land at that time to see that take place. So to us, it's history almost. We can look back and see, just like we look back in this Bible, we can see what God was doing. But we can also see it was vindicated in the scriptures, and it matches 100%. Yes. And so how that just caught our attention, and we've come, all of us, to this precious fountain of God's precious Word. Realizing that God's speaking. That's why they were coming to Jesus. They realized that man couldn't do the things he was doing. They realized that there was something greater taking place here. And everybody, each one that was coming past. Let's turn over to Luke the 10th chapter and read another scripture here to go with this. But just think about the circumstances that was happening at this time. But this was the Word for that day being made flesh. And the Word was being vindicated and manifested among them. Watch what was happening. Be here in the 10th chapter, and let's start there at the 38th verse. And it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I want you to think about there's two sisters. One of them was recognizing there was something happening here. And one of them was just too concerned about everything else to even worry about what he was saying. But one of them, there was something burning that was recognizing the words that was being spoken. It was something down on the inside was resounding to what was being spoken. It was a respondence that was taking place. Just like the little woman at the well, as Jesus began to speak to her, there was something down on the inside started to churn even as he was talking to her. And so that's the way it is tonight as we have come in here each this time, anytime we gather around God's precious word. We've recognized that God sent a prophet and how this message is laying before us ever present. And all that's happening, and we can look back and see what God has done through the ages. He sent that prophet for that purpose, to open up our eyes to see God's great plan unfolding down through time. And we can look back and see all that's happened and all that God has done. And we were standing here tonight holding this precious Bible in our hands that prophet has illuminated and pointed out to us that this is God's holy word. And laid out God's plan that there's a people predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. And that he's going to return to pick up a little bride in this day. That message was going forth. Think about the scriptures at the time Jesus was on earth. They knew that Messiah was to come. They were looking for him. They had heard that he was coming. And it was being noised abroad that the Messiah had come. And they were running. They were flocking to that word. And even think about the young man. He knew that the scripture said that Messiah would be. He knew he was well learned in what he knew. But yet when the word pointed out what he needed, it was too much for him and he didn't want nothing to do with it no more. So bear that in mind tonight as we go in and read some of these quotes. Now I want you to think about, but Brother Branham was speaking here. At that time, all of Israel was looking for a Messiah. Think about that. The scriptures had foretold. It had went out. Everybody in that land knew that the scripture said he was going to come. And then John the Baptist come on the scene and the few that was around to hear his message and to realize what was taking place. But think about it here. This is in What's the Attraction on the Mountain, preached July 25th, 65, Brother Branham speaking, paragraph 35. He says, but in the midst of all of it, through every age and every prophet that's been or would be, there's going to be a certain amount of people that's predestinated to hear that message and they'll follow it. Those ignore the crowds and they ignore the criticism of the unbeliever. They have no argument with them. They got one thing to do, and that's believe and get every bit of it they can and soak it in like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was fixing his dinner, and Jesus said to her, but Martha, you are so concerned about the things of life, but Mary has sought the better things, see, things of eternal life. And we find that many of the people that understood, they didn't have the literature as we have today. They didn't have television or telephone or anything of that day. It had been kind of breezed around. He was going to be at the Passover. For many of the people being spiritual minded knew that he was the Passover lamb. Think about it today. Many people that were spiritual minded realized that God put a prophet in the land. Many people realized what was taking place. And can truly say, look what God is doing. Look what God has done. But God sent and sent a prophet just to be a figure of a history monument. But he sent him for a purpose, just as Jesus came for a purpose here at this time. He says, because he'd already told them the things that was going to happen, and then, of course, knowing that he was to be there, and he loved him the way they did, they was waiting for him. And there was a crowd that was probably pushing and shoving from one gate to the other, one watching out in every way. For they knew that one of the hours he would appear, and they were watching. And others wondering what was the matter with these people running from gate to gate. What's the attraction? And they would look this way and they'd look that way to find out. And they looked like they were looking for something under expectation or something going to happen. And oh, I would like to change my text for a few minutes and say this. That's what's the matter today. The people who are looking for him coming is under great anticipation and expectations, and we can feel it and the pressure, and they are seeking, watching every move and every sign and comparing it with the scriptures. So think about it in that day. Jesus is coming. They knew it was prophesied. They realized that he was the one. They were realizing that. But look at the pressure that was in the ones that were recognizing that. They wanted all they could get. They wanted to know all they could. They were doing all they could to hear and see. Think about Mary and Martha there, two different ones. One more concerned with making sure he was fed nice, and all this. The other one more concerned with what he had to say. Look at the life that was being exposed and shining forth from him. And remember that. As Brother Branham said there, he'd like to change these texts to the people who are looking for him are under great expectation. What are we looking for today? God sent a prophet and he told us the Lord was coming again. And he said there was going to be a rapture. And look at all that's been laid out for us through that precious prophet that we know to be the truth. And thus saith the Lord. And we say we believe it. And if we believe it, our lives should be showing that there's a great expectation waiting in us, looking for the coming of that promise. Think of Abraham when God told him he was going to have a son. He was looking for that promise and he never stopped looking for it. Every day that's what was on his heart. And he never let it go out of his mind, but he was looking for that promised son to be made manifest. And God's precious word today promised, it said a virgin would conceive. And look at, they looked at that for so long and so long and so long, and then the word become manifest. It come time for that scripture to be revealed and made a time and place. And many missed it at that time. Oh, put her away. This can't be. Even though she told them what had happened. She told them an angel would visit her, and it was prophesied it would come. And look at how many shunned her from it. But oh, they missed seeing what the word had spoken for their day and realizing the truth that was laying within it. This is in Look Away to Jesus, paragraph 248. Just bear with me as he's speaking these things. He says, 248, the woman at the well, she got a good look one time. What did she see? She expressed it in the city. She said, come see a man who told me the things I've done. Is this the very Messiah? When she took her first look at Jesus Christ, she saw the Messiah. People can look at the same thing today and call it mental telepathy. They call it spiritualism. They call it any kind of a devil name they can call it because they don't know what they're looking for. They don't understand. They're looking for a creed. They're looking for a genius to set the church in order. They're looking for more members and fail to see the blessed Lord Jesus Christ and his identified word. Yes. It depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for the fulfillment of the promise today, you'll see it. Amen. And what are we looking for? Are we just looking to be churchgoers? Did I hear of a prophet being in the land and, oh, it was a wonderful message and it brought me out of whatever I was in and I've been following it for many years, but that's all I can see is there's just been a prophet come? And just think about it, that's history. That day's gone. That prophet came and he fulfilled the word that was spoken of him. He fulfilled his life. He became a written epistle read of all men and fulfilling the word that was spoken of him in his time here on earth. He fulfilled his purpose. And it took place just like everyone. Look at Noah, Moses, Elijah. Come all the way up through that Bible. Every one of those warriors. Look at Paul, the disciples, in each one through that Bible. In their decreed season, the word lived through them and made them written epistles read of all men. They became that word made flesh and expressed out to the people. It was living in them. It took them over. The Holy Spirit living in there brought their bodies under subjection to God's precious word. And they lived and manifested it and showed it to others. And it was seen. It was evident. It wasn't guessed about. It wasn't just talked about. But they lived what they preached. And it was showing forth from them that they believed everything they had said. He says, it depends on what you're looking at. The fulfillment of the promise day, you'll see it. But if you're looking for some intellectual or something they always looked for, some great founder, some historian, some other person, something else, you'll fail to see it. But when you look at him through the word declares who he is. And he challenged the people of his day to do the same, and they couldn't see. He said, you blind leaders of the blind, you claim Moses to be your prophet. If you'd have known Moses, you would have known me, for Moses wrote about me. And they were too blind to see it and looked right at it, but too blind to see it. Yes. Listen, as they think about it for just a moment, I'm dovetailing that glare this morning for a few minutes. You see, they're looking and don't know what they're looking for because they've got the wrong conception of what they're trying to find. How would you know what you wanted to find if you didn't know what you was looking for? Why do you think God sent a prophet? We didn't know. But God sent a prophet in this age to open up this precious word and to point us to exactly what that bride was going to be for Jesus Christ to come back and take as a wife. Yes. He plainly called out what his purpose was and why he was sent. And the word went forth, and it's still ringing out today through the apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers, all that God's placed in order till that bride comes to the perfection and to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That word is still ringing forth to make that take place. And that's what's happening today. Get in tune with where God is moving today. It's great to look back, and it's wonderful to still want to tell people about a prophet, and we should. We should express what God has done, but it's not just about a prophet, but it's about God's plan of what's taking place, and we see the end coming. Get in Jesus Christ before it's too late. Get into the Word and make sure your life is hid in that Word. It doesn't, as Brother Branham said as he talked about the token, he said, don't just come together and talk about it, but get beneath it. Yes. And that's where we're standing tonight. We can talk about this word, we can rehearse this word, but we've got to come to a place to where it's applied in our life to such a level that that word has become a living epistle read of all men today. Yes. And that it's not just something I talk about and something I tell people it's a good thing, but my life is bearing forth that I believe every word of that because it's brought my body under subjection to that word, and people can see the results of that life living through us. Yes. But sometimes we get so focused on just, oh, I believe he was a prophet. I believe we got all the word. We got all this, and I know about this, and I know about that. But what about the revelation that will change this body by bringing it step by step, word upon word, and bringing us to that place where we're standing there as a vessel prepared, foreordained, and predestinated to be conformed to that image and coming in line with that image, not still looking like something that's totally off in the corner somewhere. You know, I saw another preacher had used an example, and I thought it was pretty good. But he held up a glove, and he said, this was God made man in his own image. Think about that. And he held up the glove, and he held up the hand to show you this glove was made in the image of the hand. But then he said, but man was also predestinated to be conformed to the image. And it's just a glove, a limp glove. It don't look too much like a hand, but when it's skin tight and you slide your hand inside of it, then look at it, it really comes to light that it's been conformed to the image of your hand. And how that is the way with Jesus Christ. When he comes on the inside, your life will be conformed wholeheartedly and solely to the purpose for which God has sent us. And each one of us, just as Zacchaeus recognized the word and it changed his life. He didn't go away another person. He didn't go away the same old person that he was. But no, there was something that took a hold inside of him and he went away different. The little woman at the well, she went away different. Her life was changed. And it went forth vindicating that God had spoke to her and her life had made a change. Look at Paul, what he was, and look what that life coming inside did for him. Yeah. And so many today want to preach out of Romans and try to show in the 7th chapter where Paul was trying to explain what it was like to have the new birth. And they want to try to preach that that's both of them's in there at the same time. And when you do good, it's the Lord. And when you do bad, it's the other one. Two natures at the same time within you. But never getting the revelation that there's got to be a soul change. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Every word must run in continuity with God's precious word. And to see the fulfillment of that. It doesn't make you smart, or try to say, well, I know more than you know. But if God has opened your eyes to this precious word to realize that it's got to be every word, every word. And it's got to become to that to us that there's no big words, little words. And it's got to come to the place to where we can understand that as a pastor under the anointing would get up and bring forth God's word, and he's preaching to you out of this Bible, or he's bringing it to you out of these books. It's God speaking to you, and it's got to be adhered to. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And God's got a plan and a purpose. But oftentimes we think we know more than God does. And we don't have to, this word's not important, we don't have to worry about that word. Think about the messages our pastor's been bringing. About he used taking God's name in vain a while back, and then a few others about talking like the world, and then a couple services on love. Think about these things. Little foxes, we might say. But they eat the vine. And they take away from what God's projected for us to be and to have. And we get so caught up in our worldly talking and worldly slang that we just let it go. We don't even think anymore. And maybe one word we think's really bad, but then another word we don't care to say that word. But what if we would weigh every word that we spoke through God's precious word and weigh our lives in God's word and say, Lord, what am I supposed to be? This is to be changed. I'm not to be like the world in any manner. And it's pretty easy to take common sense alone and say, oh, I hear the world say this and I hear the world say that. And do you ever stop to think, why, no one of the Christians are ever saying those words? Maybe we should look this up and see what it means. That's got to be applied in everything. That's one word the same as everything else, but it's got to be everything. We've got to see it come into our lives, not hooking on our, well, I'm right and that brother's wrong because of this item. It's got to be every word to you and to me. We've got to hang on to it with all that's in us. Amen. We've got to see it make a change in us. We've got to see our lives conforming to that image that he said we would be. The time is coming to a close, and it's not a time just to say, I believe a message, but where's the vindication of that message in my life? Brother Branham, as I said, when he came, he fulfilled what was spoken of him. And we can look back now, that's been in the history, and say he did what God sent him to do. But God predestinated a people to be a bride, to come under subjection to every word in this last few moments of time. And by God's grace, that's where I have found my place, and I pray that you found your place there. But we've got to come under that same subjection, that we would be written epistles read of all men. That the word is becoming alive and living, and not just something that's left on a shelf or become a written old, oh, that's just that one word over there. No, it's got to be important to us in every aspect. Amen. This is in the message, when their eyes were open, they knew him, December 12th, 1964. Paragraph 90, or we'll just catch up a little above it there. He says, there was another like little scholar been teaching when Philip was standing there watching that things go on. And he took around the mountain real quick and got another man by the name of Nathaniel, who had been a Bible student, studier. And they studied the scriptures because they knew the time was at hand and they were looking for him to come. And that's who he comes to those who are looking for him. And we find out today he is not coming to those who is not looking for him. Now, listen to what he's saying here. There's no such thing as divine healing to those who don't believe in it. There's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost to them who don't believe in it. It's just for those who believe it. That's right. Amen. And so then we find out those who are longing to know the truth, God is obligated to reveal that truth. And he says the word and then comes and fulfills it and gives his own interpretation. Oh, if we're longing to know the truth, God is obligated. Yes. I wonder if he sees that in us. Lord, I really want every word made real to me. Do we come with that attitude, or do we just come, it's another church service, I've heard everything they're going to read tonight, I don't know all there is to know about this message, and I'm living a pretty good life. But God is calling us to a higher place. Where is that faith the early fathers had? Where are we truly contending for the revelation that will change these bodies? Are we looking for that, or are we just content to go on with this world, and it's getting bad, but it ain't that bad? Well, it's fixing to get real bad. You better heed the warning of the Holy Spirit. It's been coming. Because saints, things are shaping up behind the scenes that we're not even, I don't even think we realize how fast it's going to turn when it does. He says, and we find out soon that little, she couldn't understand to know this man. Let me skip over that. But now think about this. Brother Branham was speaking, and this is kind of what I want us to think about. In paragraph 151, and a greater than Solomon is here in June 28, 1963. Then after 2,000 years of gospel preaching and the Holy Spirit pouring out in the last days upon the people, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and promised this great discernment would come back into the church again. And what would she do to this generation when she stands there after times plus 2,000 years of gospel preaching in the last days to see gifts, not gift, but gifts of the Holy Spirit? She surrendered her life to Christ. Why? And he says, I have to close. But he says, friends, he says, that's what's the matter with the Pentecostals. You're looking for something. And one of these days, it's going to be too far. It passed right by you and you didn't know it. Remember in the days of Elijah, they didn't know him. And in the days of the John the Baptist, they didn't know him. And he was spoke of in the scriptures that he would be. I'll send my messenger before my face to prepare the way. And even the disciples come to him and said, why must Elias come? And he said, he already has, and you didn't know it. And they didn't know Jesus was the Christ until he was dead and buried. And they didn't know that Irenaeus belonged. And I say this, that all the people will know, they didn't know Joan of Arc was a saint of God till they killed her. The Catholic Church burnt Joan of Arc for a witch because she seen visions and prayed for the sick and brought the dead back to life. And the Catholic Church called her a witch and burnt that woman to the stake about 2,000 years later. They woke up and found out that she was a saint. Of course, they done great penance. And they dug up them priest's body and throwed him in the river. Nonsense. But watch out, it might happen among us. That the thing might come and be clearly identified by God in the scriptures. By science and everything else. And it would pass us and we'd know it not. And then stand in the last day clearly identified. Man is still the same. Man is always praising God for what he has done. And they're talking about what he will do and ignoring what he's doing. That's the nature of man. And think about it. We can look back and we can praise God for all that he's done through this Bible. We can praise God for all that he's done through the prophet. And all that we've seen happen up to this point. And we can look way off in the distance and talk about all that's going to happen. And all that's going to take place. But what is God trying to do in my heart and your heart right now that we're overlooking? What is message is he trying to convey to us? What revelation is he trying to get us to see that we're too busy focused one way or the other that we're not focusing to today? Yes. That today is the day that I must be responsible for what I'm hearing. Yes. Today it must be living, not tomorrow. Not when, if you know, some people, when they believe when Brother Branham returns, everything's going to be all right then. We'll know it. We'll get it all straightened out. No, God sent that voice to bring that word to prepare that little bride. And it, you better be getting it straightened out now to make sure that it's matching what's already been delivered. And if God's got something else, he'll deliver it on time when it's time. But let me be standing ready at this moment with what's already been delivered, with it vindicated and manifesting in my life. That token that's been brought is applied in the living through me. As our pastor was mentioning the prisoner ship and everything on Sunday. Think about it. Saints, today is the day that we've got to be responsible. Think about Paul. We look back and we can see Paul said, what manner of people what we ought to be in all holy conversation. Yeah. What is that word at? Look at all the words our pastor's been reminding us of here lately. The Holy Spirit renewing our minds. Can we measure up to that? As he said, pull out one of those characters out of the Bible. Where do you stand today? Yeah. What are you vindicating to prove that Jesus Christ is the same and living in you? It's our turn. It's not off in history, but it's today. Today is the day you've got to know that he is his Father and the Father's in him and I in you and you in me. Yes. Today is the day that it's got to be evident and seen. Not being, can't tell if we're conformed to the world or conformed to Christ in our doings and what we want and where we're going. Yes. Sometimes as Martha, he told Martha, you've bothered about many things, but you're missing the wrong, you're missing the point. Yes. Oh, may we focus our attention to why we're here. This is it. We've got to find that place that it doesn't matter what anyone else has said. It doesn't matter what creed and dogma is laying over here or over there. We've got to come back to this word for ourselves. Yes. Just ourselves has got to make sure that as individuals we're lined up 100%. Oh, we got to find that place. Amen. Hallelujah. What time is it? You sisters can come to the instruments. Amen. I just want to read this. I think it goes well with... But saints, we must, as we see what's happening, listen to what he was saying in this when he was talking about, this is in the indictment. And as he was saying these things, just think about where we stand today. In paragraph 263, and this was preached July 7th, 1963, he says, I challenge any man to show me anybody, and I know this tape goes around the world, any man, any bishop that will come to my study or before this congregation and point their finger to one place, anybody, was ever baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. And I'll show you where every person that was ever baptized, those who were baptized different, had to come and be rebaptized to get the Holy Ghost. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to stay out there in your creed, stay out there in your dogmas and die? You're guilty. With wicked hands, you've took the Prince of Life and the Word of Life and crucified it to the people. Now think of what he's saying. This is one word. And this was a doctrine that was messed up. And God's brought it back to clarity. And we can point at this and say, that's right, I know I believe it exactly the way he presented that. I believe you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand why. But what about every other word that came forth that Paul spoke? And what about the prophet renewed our minds to? Because he only brought what was already written in there back to us. Amen. To point us to us that nothing can be lacking. There's no room for excuses for why I let sin abide in my life. There's no excuse for why I allow things to go on that should not, that's contrary to God's precious word. It puts us in the same boat as one word, as one word. We can't be guilty. We can't leave none of it out, but we've got to come to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Amen. What are you doing about it? Stay out there in your creeds. He said, crucify the people. Now, what did they do? They didn't know it. Today, men walk ignorantly. They don't know that's the truth. They think it's some kind of an ism. And they don't dig down deep enough to get into the spirit of revelation. And they don't pray enough. And they don't call upon God enough. And sometimes your pastor or another minister may really be in the Word praying and crying out and bring something to your attention that God's trying to show us. But sometimes because we're in that state that we're not praying enough, we're not crying out to God enough, we think it's that person's idea. That's really not how far it's got to go. We don't think we have to toe the mark that real on a lot of subjects. It's easy to pull out those one little thing. Well, that don't pertain to me. It's easy. Saints, we must be so careful. We're coming to the fullness of the stature of time. Everything is falling right in place. And someone's got to be standing there exactly waiting for that bridegroom to come. Ready, not a spot or blemish anywhere, but standing in the fullness of that precious word. He says they don't call upon God enough. They just lightly take it. Well, I believe there's a God. The devil believes the same thing. The devil believes it more than some people claim to believe. And the devil believes and trembles. People just believe it and go on. But the devil trembles knowing that judgment is coming, and people believe it and don't pay no attention to the judgment is coming. Guilty of crucifying, sure. I indict this generation, finding them guilty by the same word that found them guilty at the beginning. That's right. Jesus said, who could condemn me? He was the Word made flesh, and today the same Word is made flesh. Peter said in his indictment in Acts, let's just read it. Peter said when he saw this taking place and what they had done, Peter was defending Christ and what they had done, and I'm defending the Gospels. Peter was indicting them for killing the man, Christ, who was the Word. I'm indicting this generation for trying to kill the Word, which is made manifest in men. Yes. Watch what Peter said. His righteous indignation must have rose up pretty high. Listen to him here in Acts 2nd chapter as he begins at the 22nd verse. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, approved, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs which God did by him in the midst, as you yourselves also know. He says, who imagine how they felt. And oh, how we, as that word comes forth, how it does prick our hearts to show us where we're wrong. And oh, but they didn't, it was pricking their hearts as he was preaching that. Ye men of Israel, the prince, ye churchmen, ye holy men, you priests, you men that's supposed to be men of God, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, approved of God among you. And I say to you clergymen and to you people, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, he is here in the person of the Holy Ghost, which was the life that was in him, and he is here working through his people, declaring himself by signs and wonders, which is what he does. And here they hung around on the walls, scientific identification, people sitting here, and he's talking now to the meeting, sitting here that was dead, living today, cancer-eaten, are well today, blind are seeing today, cripples, they're walking today. He is Jesus of Nazareth. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, predestinated for his job, ye have taken by wicked hands, you have slain. Is that an indictment? He is indicting that, the Sanhedrin Council. And I'm indicting this morning the Federation of Churches. I'm indicting the Pentecostals, the Presbyterians, the Baptists, and every denomination in the world. By wicked and selfish greed, you've took the word of life and crucified it before the people, blasphemed it, and called it fanaticism, which God has raised up in our midst to prove that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has proved himself alive, and God has proved that this is his word. And what have you got but a bunch of dogma and creeds? Where can you show the living God because you've turned down the word of life that would have given you these things? Yes, sir. Oh, what an hour that we're now living in. And how true it is to stop and think where we're standing. It's easy to look and say, oh, they're taken away from the word. They've done away with it over here, and oh, it's big over here. But is there one word that I'm doing away with in my life that my body must come under subjection to? Amen. That I'm saying, oh, that isn't important. That doesn't matter. That's going too far. I don't have to be like that to be like Christ. If it's in that precious word, we got to be every bit of it and more. Amen. Exactly what he promised we would be. Amen. Think about where we're living and the closeness of time. Oh, as you can imagine that night in Egypt, as that death angel was striking, and that little child would say, Daddy, are you sure that blood's over that door? That's the age and time in which we're living right now. Are you sure that that token is on display in every action, every move declaring Jesus Christ? He's to be the principal theme of our walking, of our talking, of our actions. Think about all these things that's been left to us. Does the Holy Spirit bring these things to our remembrance, or do we forget what God has already delivered to us to be? Are we looking off in the future of what's going to be, and it's so wonderful. And we look back, oh, that was so wonderful. But what about today and where I stand before Jesus Christ? Oh, saints, may we hearken to the voice of the Lord and truly focus our attention to what he's trying to do now. Yes, and oh, may we truly listen to what God would have for us. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Maybe a chopped up way of bringing it, but I pray you can take something from it. And ask God just to stir our hearts. Saints, we've got to be a people that's got an identification shining forth, showing that not only do we believe this, but it's living through us and manifesting out. And all to think that we must be a people that can truly show that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not by what we can do, but by what he is doing through us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus, I'll Say Amen to Jesus.
I'll say amen to Jesus, amen all the time, amen in his throne, amen rain or shine, it's yes to God forever, he knows what's best for me. And so I'll just say amen, whatever it may be. May it be a true, solid amen for every word of God. Amen. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's such a blessing to have today, that precious desire that drives you, pulls you, gives you that blessed desire for that every word that proceeds from God's mouth. But to live and be expressed, may God have a preeminence. May the Holy Ghost send down a state of emergency in our lives. Seriously. Knowing what's moving out here throughout the land, may we be following right in with the plan of God, doing everything God wants us to do. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these precious words tonight. Lord, each one of us, I trust, has been able to sit under the Word of God and measure ourselves up by it. Lord, not pushing it off it's for somebody else or somebody sitting beside of me, but may we, by grace, Lord, through humility, take that Word, Lord, and just let it search our own personal life to make sure everything, Lord, is pleasing in your sight. And Lord, truly, I just trust that you'll send down a desperation in our hearts. Lord, even if we have the token already, still may there be a desperation burning our hearts, Lord, that there's a work that must be finished, that must be done. Help us to see these great things that's taking place and throughout our lives and throughout the land and all this coming together now. It's all pointing to a rapture. And Father, may we be able to see that we're one of them. Lord, one of them that has given our lives completely to you, and you're living, expressing yourself through us. Grant that in our lives, Lord. Bless us now, and thank you, Lord, that you give us this time together tonight. It's been so good to sit under the Word, and also be able to come worship you, and all, just every wonderful step that you've given us. We just pray now that you'll help us as we depart from this little place. Help us not to part from your presence and the dealing of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. With us on the highways, keep us safe, Lord, and bring us back again the next appointed time if you should tarry. In your blessed holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Sing it one more time. I'll say amen to Jesus. Amen all the time. Amen in sorrow. Amen, rain or shine, it's yes to God forever. He knows what's best for me.
And so I'll just say amen, whatever it may be. May God bless you. You're all dismissed.